Gator fans, it has been a while since a Sunday morning has felt this good. A dominant performance in the swamp against a rival you haven't beaten in 5 years will do that for you. The Gators dominated LSU 27-16 for their fifth win of the season. Keep in mind, Vegas had us winning 4.5, I believe, so above that trend. That's nice. We are going to get into the good, the bad, the ugly of this win right now. Let's start with the good. It's unusual for my list of good things that happened during the game to outnumber the bad and the ugly. But that tends to happen when you beat a rival at home, especially in front of a ton of recruits that you want to commit to your team. By the way, I've heard some rumblings already. As soon as I hear anything concrete, I'll paste it over on my Patreon account. It's patreon.com/AllyPeak. So if you want to go over there and sign up, you'll hear the recruiting news first. Okay, so overall, Florida's team effort has to top my good list. I have talked on this channel about the improved effort since the bye week a lot, right? I also talked about how in the beginning of the season, I didn't feel like the effort level was there. And it was something that I heavily criticized. It's improved since the bye, but it was lacking against Texas. And I know that there were a lot of injuries and other factors at play, but I was really interested going into this game to see if the effort was going to be fully there again. And it was. It was. And another good thing is that I think the play calling was a little bit better. I know that's weird for me to say that, right? It was more fitting for the situation that we were in. DJ Lagway was not going to be able to use his feet, right? I don't know if you guys saw on game day, they talked about how they were going to be supporting him with this hamstring injury. There was actually a piece of elastic sewn in his pants that ran all the way down the back of his leg, and it was attached to his sock, and it was supposed to help give some stability to that hamstring, but it also was going to hinder his ability to run. He did practice in that set of pants all week long, so he was used to being in it, but it was not going to be the DJ Lagway that we were used to seeing. And what I was concerned about was whether or not our play calling would adapt to that. And I feel like it did. And we actually took some shots downfield. And even if we didn't get them, we were in the position to get them. And that's growth. There were still some third down plays where we threw the ball behind the sticks. And that's just been driving me nuts all season. But listen, I even saw improvement on third down. So tip of the cap to the play calling. It was better. DJ Lagway is good. He was 13 for 26 for 226 yards and a touchdown. There were a few throws that he made that I think there is probably only a handful of quarterbacks in the entire country that are capable of making that same throw. He makes everybody around him better. I don't know if you guys have seen the video that's making its way around social media of Lagway standing under the uprights as his team is coming out of the tunnel for warmups, and he is making it a point to high five, make eye contact with every single guy that comes out from that tunnel. That is what leadership looks like, right? This kid is 18 years old. I can remember another 18-year-old that I watched live and in person a few years ago, Johnny Manziel. I sat in the stands for his very first SEC game. They played Florida. It was at Texas A&M. And my dad and I sat there and we were like, man, this kid's going to win the Heisman one day. And full disclosure, didn't think it was going to happen his freshman season, which it did. But I get those same vibes when I watch DJ Lagway play. He is one of the best quarterbacks in the country. And honestly, it kind of gives me chills to think about how that is going to develop over the next couple of years because, man, he is that good. Elijah Badger was also very good. 6 catches, 131 yards, and a touchdown. He was also coming back from injury. We weren't sure if he was at 100% or not, but he sure looked like he was at 100%. He was good. Is there a position outside of wide receiver that Florida has hit on more in the transfer portal? I'm going to say no. You know, between Badger and DK this year, you know, we just really kind of hit it out of the park at wide receiver. Be interesting to see moving forward if Florida can be that successful at other positions, and they're going to have to replicate it at wide receiver, I think, for Florida to be successful next season. But whew, What an important pickup in the portal he was. Jaden Ball was also lights out. 6 carries for 65 yards. He is just a bruiser. Jacoby Jackson was also good. Let's give it up for Trey Smack. Set a new career long with a 55-yard field goal that sure as heck would have been good from 60. This was a game where every point was going to matter. And I think you can look at other parts of the season where either we missed the field goals, we messed up some kind of part in the process of it, or maybe we went for it instead of just kicking the field goal. We've had those red zone struggles. Not yesterday. He showed up big. 2 for 2 on those field goals, 3 for 3 on extra points. Like I said, in a game where every point was going to matter, he was electric. How about our defensive line too? Honestly, I think this is the unit that stood out to me the very most. George Gubbs Jr., Cam Jackson, Caleb Banks, Tyreek Sapp, the list goes on. The defensive line and really the linebackers too were just so good. Coming into this game, LSU ranked 4th in the nation and 1st in the SEC in sacks allowed. They had only given up 6 total the entire season so far, the first 9 games. Florida topped that season total in one game. They got 7 sacks yesterday. And I think that that is honestly the kind of performance that we were expecting this defensive line to give going into the season. We talked all summer long about how defensive line was going to be the most improved unit. And everything we heard from sources at practice were telling us that this defensive line had a motor and we were just going to see this huge amount of improvement. And, you know, then the Miami game happened and the Texas A&M game happened. And I think we were all like, shoot, was the wool pulled over our eyes? This is not the defensive line that we were expecting to see. That unit was a liability at the beginning of the season. And now it is a massive asset. So tip of the hat to those players, to those coaches. What a performance by this defensive line. There were multiple strip sacks that LSU recovered, right? There was one that we got as well. But if you continue to make those kind of plays, you're going to end up with more of those, right? LSU recovering them after those strip sacks, that's just kind of the way the ball bounces. But the more it happens, the more your odds increase of continuing to recover those things. And that puts your offense in a great position. I really think we got to give some flowers to several individuals on defense. Shamar James, 11 tackles, 2 sacks, 2 tackles for a loss, and 2 pass breakups. Holy cow. Tyreek Sapp, he had 8 tackles, 1 sack, 4 tackles for a loss. Jack Pyburn had 8 tackles. Trickweezy Bridges had 7 tackles and a pass breakup. Miles Graham had 7 tackles. Caleb Banks and George Gubbs Jr. both had 3 tackles, a sack, and a tackle for a loss apiece. TJ Searcy had a sack. Just overall, great day for the defense outside of a few third downs. At the beginning of the game, I was tweeting like, man, this defense is on fire. And then, you know, promptly gave up some big third downs, to which many of you had comments for me. But if you look at the entire body of work yesterday, this defense was great. Is there room for improvement? Yes, of course. And I would pinpoint that third down spot for a place for really need some emphasis this week in practice. But overall, great defensive performance, the kind of performance that wins you games in the SEC. We also need a round of applause for the Swamp. I tweeted this yesterday, but when the Swamp is at its best, at its loudest, there is no better venue in all of college football. Fight me on that. What a show our fans put out yesterday. You influenced the outcome of this game. There were multiple times when LSU had to burn timeouts because they could not hear. Way to stand in the gap for this team and be that 12th man. I've said it a million times. This fan base is the best in college football. We might ride your butt, right? But we show up and we show out no matter what the record is. The stands were packed with recruits who got a show last night. And you fans, you helped contribute to that. Let's talk a little bit about LSU. Listen, this was Florida's best effort and best overall game this season, in my opinion. I don't think the same can be said about LSU. There were multiple interceptions that were just in the hands of LSU defenders that they just dropped. There were several long passes absolutely on the money that were dropped by LSU wide receivers. This was certainly not one of their best days. Florida, took care of the ball. They had no interceptions, no fumbles, but honestly, there really should have been multiple interceptions. And, you know, was it Florida forcing LSU to not play their best? Maybe. Was it because they're coming off their third, this is now their third loss in a row? I don't know. The better team last night was absolutely Florida, but this was definitely not LSU's best performance of the year either. So listen, UF has the ability to get to 6-6 or better. And that is not the standard. Okay. So I want to make something absolutely perfectly clear to all of you, because I get all of these messages after I make a video like this. You can be really excited about a win and feel that a team is trending in the right direction, but also not find where the team is year three into a coaching regime as acceptable. And that's where I sit right now. We were told this summer that a 6-6 record against the toughest schedule in college football would mean a return for Billy Napier. That's not me saying my standard is 6-6 for him to get a fourth year. That is me saying that my sources within the administration of UF have always maintained that a 6-6 record would be good enough for a year four for Napier. 6-6 looks completely possible at this point. It is attainable. All they have to do is beat Florida State for that to happen. They'll be bowl eligible. Shoot, 7-5 is still on the table though. You can beat Ole Miss next week. Ole Miss lost to that LSU team that you handled well last night. If you get to 7-5 in the regular season and you win a bowl game, 8-5 would be a huge step in the right direction against, again, the toughest schedule in college football. This is not me saying that I'm okay with this Florida team being 6-6. But what I am saying is when we started this season 1-2, this didn't look attainable, right? And now it is very much attainable. We actually can surpass that 6-6. And then I think when you take a macro look at the overall season, it's not nearly as disappointing as it felt at moments for Florida fans. Let's talk a little bit about the bad of this game. There's honestly not much. LSU held the ball for over 41 minutes. Florida had 18-minute time of possession. And they ran almost twice as many plays. But honestly, the twice as many plays doesn't really move the needle for me. That just tells me Florida was much more efficient when they had the ball. I do think we got to balance out that time of possession a little bit. Florida was only 3 of 9 on third down conversions. That is something that I think they really need to improve upon. And then penalties. Florida's opening drive, they had 2 procedural penalties. We had another penalty for 12 men on the field on special teams. We had a procedural penalty coming off a fumble when all of the momentum was at Florida's back. None of these things bit us in the butt yesterday, but they could have. And they happen far too often for a team that is 3 years with this coaching staff. Especially when we were told that this was going to be a regime that focused on attention to detail. The procedural penalties happen way too much. They didn't cost us yesterday, but they have cost us in the past and they can cost us moving forward. So I think that's something Florida really needs to continue to work on cutting down. But honestly, I have nothing negative to say about the overall performance yesterday. But here's what I do want to see now. Can Florida build on it? They're playing a team that LSU beat next week in Ole Miss. A team that, listen, Ole Miss has a ton to play for. They're looking to make the playoffs. They are coached by a guy that many of you guys want to replace, Billy Napier. This team needs to prove to me, prove to Gator Nation that this wasn't a fluke. UF also has a lot to play for next week. I mean, it's not the playoffs, but listen, the Gators win. They are bowl eligible. They can prove that this progress is real, right? Coming out of the bye, you beat a UCF team, you know, you beat a Kentucky team, you beat teams that are not as good as the teams you lost to at the beginning of the season. And then you get humiliated by Texas. But LSU, that's a team that is better than some of these other teams from earlier in the season. Ole Miss, this is a team knocking on the playoffs door. You can beat them. I think it's fair to say the progress is real at that point. And honestly, these players can kind of signal to the fan base, maybe the right guy is at the helm, right? It's a big game. There's a lot to play for. Thanks for tuning in, guys. Make sure you are subscribed to the channel so you can see all the content we have coming your way this week. As always, it's great to be a Florida Gator.